Praise God. How many of you know God is good?
Yes, sir. All the time.
We're going to turn to a classic scripture. And while you are turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, I had this amazing time with God this morning. Awesome. I want to tell you what, if I had done what I wanted to do, I wouldn't be here. I mean, I want to be here. But have you ever just sort of like touched God and he touched you and you didn't want to let go? You ever picked up a live wire, like a wire that's live? And he like, you want to throw it down real bad, but there's something, I really want to let go of this, but that's the way it is when you plug into the presence and power of God. And let me tell you something else. If you are a live wire for God, not too many people will want to step on you. It's just a thought. Okay. First of all, you'll scare the pudding out of them, all right? Because they're not used to religious people. They're not used to religious people being alive. God did not call you and me to be religious. He called us to be spiritual. All right, to be a voice for him. So this is a classic scripture. This is one that I quote from time to time, but I'm going to give it to you in three different versions, all right? So first of all, in the King James, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what he's saying there is you can actually see it. Behold, you can see. You can. When somebody's really plugged into Jesus, you can see the changes. Now listen to it from the Message. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Does that appeal to you? That appeals to me. You say you've already had that. I know, but I need that every once in a while. Every day is a fresh start. Zig Ziglar, the famous motivational speaker, this is one of his most famous statements. He used to say it all the time. If you don't think it's a great day, just try missing one of them. Just try missing one of them. You understand? This is a great day. Okay. So the rest of it is old things. Okay. He gets a new start, a fresh start, comma, is created new. So let's read it from the beginning. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All right, and then last of all, the Amplified. You say we're going to do what we do Wednesday? No, because I've downloaded both Amplified into my iPad, both the classic and the newer one from 2015. The classic, of course, is from 1987. Since Wednesday night, I've downloaded both of them into my iPad. But Sister Gwen helps us so greatly. And from the Amplified, okay, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, somebody say the old things. The previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Man, let's just live on them a little bit right now. Oh my, wow, what a pack of promises. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for change. Thank you for the power of your transforming grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in our hearts. Thank you, Father. We don't take you for granted. Thank you for filling us with the Holy Ghost. And if there's anybody here who doesn't have, Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost in their life, Lord, help them to have faith today to receive it. In Jesus' name, would you give the Lord a hand praise as unto him? You may be seated. I want to preach for a few minutes about if you want to be saved, get used to change. There's no way to get in this thing called the church without being changed. And I'll tell you something else that's really, really, really exciting about that. You don't have enough power to live the Christian life. Intrinsic to yourself. Let me use some cerebral collegiate words, all right? Intrinsically in you. You don't have the power to change. But one touch from God. I'll tell you something else. Can I blow your mind? Thank you for permission. You don't have enough stuff in you without God to live a holy life. You couldn't live one half of a standard without his power and without his grace. So we don't have anything to brag about. Whatever we're living by the grace of God, we do it because he lives in us. And it doesn't produce braggadocio. It produces humility and constant dependence on him for his power. Lift your hand. Let's love him again. Would you with me? He's to be lifted. He's to be magnified. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, the Bible says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Woo. Praise God. You know, we can lose sight. We can get sort of faint in our memories about how lost we were. I don't know about you, but I was not just lost. I was very lost. I used to take the name of the Lord in vain, and now I baptize in that name. Come on, now I cast out devils in that name. The name that I used to profane. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Anybody know where that is? That's Acts 4, verse 12. Get back in the book of Acts. It's not the book of observations. It's not the book of analysis. It's the book of Acts. If you believe, you got to get up and do something. You got to get up and boogie and dance and praise and worship. If you believe that he lives in you, amen. He's going to change something. He's going to change your mind. He's going to change your spirit. He's going to give you a new attitude. One of the most beautiful things in the world is a Christian with a really good attitude. Yes. Woo, praise God. Is that right? It is so right. You can't live this life without his power. So if you want to be saved, you got to get used to change, because you start now and finish never. He is not done with me. Hello. I am not the finished edition. Neither are you. He's not done with you. He wants to change something today. He wants to alter. He wants to tweak something today. And we can't do this unless his power operates in us. So he says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost and unto the guttermost part of the earth. Oh, praise God. Don't you believe that? So the new birth. Talk to me about the new birth. Because I went to a church for years as a youngster. And it never made me new. But I enjoyed it. And I had some awesome, I'm going to tell you who made the biggest impact on me, were my Sunday school teachers. They loved us, Paul Abendroth and his wife. They loved us, treated us like celebrities. I will never, never forget them. But while I was sitting in church, I realized how unchristlike I was. I realized how off base and off kelter and off track I was. And one, I tell this story, Brother Tim, of the lady who stood in that Nazarene church in the back, about where you're sitting, Sister Linda, and she stood and she was trembling, and she was holding on to the pew in front of her, and she didn't want to interrupt our awesome pastor, but she sort of did, and he just went quiet because he wasn't used to people standing up to testify. And she was trembling, Nicole, under the power of God. And she began, as she got the floor, she began to talk about how much she loved God, and she was weeping and trembling. And I'm just a little kid, but to this day I can tell you that she impacted my heart, because that woman woman had been in contact with a resurrected Messiah. She had had some kind of experience with the Lord, and she couldn't just sit there and not do something. I'm going to tell you what. He wants to touch you and give you a song. He wants to touch you, deliver you, and give you a deliverance testimony. He is in the delivering business. He can break chains off of us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, one translation says, he is a new species. Woo! He gives you a new heart. I like that part. I was in a Walmart years ago. I was just sharing God with somebody going through the checkout. And I said something about God had given me a new heart. And she thought I was talking about a heart transplant. And I remember, oh goodness, she misread what I was saying. I got to go back and people were behind me, and I had to keep moving. I thought I got to get back there and tell her. I don't want her to live with a deception here. I want to get back and tell her. No. I'm not talking about that kind of heart. But I have had a heart transplant. Oh, praise God. I have had a heart transplant. Oh, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How do we sing and dance? How do we have this kind of church? Because the risen Messiah, Ancient of Days, he has come and taken up habitation in us, and he has given us a new heart and a new song and a new total take on life. How many of you realize that when you got baptized in Jesus' name and you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you didn't even look at people the same way? Instead of wanting to cuss them out, I was driving down the road, you know, the other morning, and it was prayer morning, and it was, you know, my prayer roads, and so it was still kind of dark. And so this car's coming, and they've got their high beams on. And man, I don't know what model of car that was, but baby doll, it was serious high beams. Now, you have ever been struck with blindness? I am trying to drive toward, and they're coming this way. So I thought, I'll just blink my eyes up and down, right? I did, huh? No change. Man, what are they? Are they crazy? What? Oh, my lens. They're blinding me, and there's people behind me. And so I thought, you know, they might not have caught it the first time. So I threw them up on high, you know, just real quick. Choom, choom. And nope, they go, harr. And I thought, you old stubborn thing, you. You stubborn, that's the old heart. That's the fallen heart. The heart that says, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to adjust. I'm not going to be sweet. I'm not going to be courteous. I'm not going to be kind. That's that old fallen heart. I know, because I used to be the same way. But oh, since I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, there's been a whole lot of tweaking, a whole lot of changing, a whole lot of adjusting going on. If you want to be saved, you got to get used to change. Woo! Listen to this from Ezekiel 36:26. I love this. A new heart. This is a prophecy that went out about what would happen when people came into the church hundreds of years in the future. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Oh, praise God. So I tell the Lord this from time to time. Lord, I can't do this without you. I think he loves to hear that. We are not self-sufficient in ourselves. He is. He is our sufficiency. He is our sufficiency. Half of life, I said to somebody here, was it this morning? It's spelled L-I-F-E. Half of life is if. There's an I-F, if in the center of the word life. If you will succumb, if you will submit, if you will give, if you will consecrate yourself to the Lord and let him live through you, all things are possible to him that believeth. He can give you victory over everything. He can even give you victory over your opinion. I snuck that one in. That's not in my notes. I'm sorry. That's an extra. That's what you call a Pentecostal perk. He can even give you victory over your perspective. I think one of the most dangerous things is a Pentecostal who has no perspective. I'm going to tell you what. He comes to me. He came to me this morning. I got lost in him. I could have used a few more, frankly, and I'm not saying this. You probably got a better prayer life than I do. But I'm working on mine. I love to be in his presence. Try this one on for size. Psalm 16:11. This is not in my notes either. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And you know what we've forgotten how to do? We've forgotten how to pray through. Do you know what I mean? We've had this so long, we need to dust it off. Dust off the promises. Pray through. Jesus paid through so I can pray through. And don't get under the load. Don't get stressed out. Don't get out. We all live in one stressed out world. But I want to tell you what, there's joy and there's power available for the Christian who believes that God's not done changing me. God's not done changing me. I said, God's not done changing me. He gave me a new attitude. He gave me a new heart in the new birth. Oh, wow. And he also gave me a new nature. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that we're partakers of the divine nature. I remember when Ember used to make chocolate chip cookies. I didn't have to say, oh, help me, Jesus. Help me get excited. Lord, please give me some excitement. I was like, you kidding me? Chocolate chip cookies. And she always made them really moist. Tender-hearted chocolate chip cookies. And then she'd always bring a sample. Oh, how I love samples. And we still talk about those cookies because there were some things that when she made them, I don't know if it was the anointing in her life. I am not sure, but she made them and it was like Michelangelo and the Last Supper or wasn't that Leonardo da Vinci? Okay. Anyway, I mean, it's just a masterpiece. What was that work that Michelangelo did? David, one of the most beautiful, most intricate sculptures of a guy. It was just like the masterpiece. Woo! And you know what happens to us? We get all filled up with schedules. And we get all filled up with liturgies and traditions. We get away from the original power that fell on us when we prayed through. And we struggle and we try to make things work. And we try to think hard enough to think it through so we can somehow shape it the right way. But if we could just come to an altar. If we could walk to an altar and say, Lord, fill me up again. Fill me up again. Fill me up. Raise your hand. Would you make that a prayer with me today? Would you raise your hand and make that a prayer? Lord, fill me up again. Fill me up. Give me, oh Father, a fresh heart. Give me a fresh heart. A new attitude. Billy Cole used to say the reason why we don't see miracles in America like we do in Ethiopia and other places is because of our American attitudes. There's such a humility overseas. And there's so much arrogance in our amazing country. Oh, God, it's difficult and challenging for the Spirit of God to do what he wants to do in some places because, you know, the more room I take up, the less room God has. Man, he gave me a new nature. So it was natural to just covet those chocolate chip cookies. I didn't have to practice it. I didn't have to take a class. How to love chocolate chip cookies. In three easy lessons. And then the Bible says when he gives us a new nature, that's why it's easy to pray. It's easy for me to pray. It's a wonderful thing. I love prayer. I can't get enough. And the more I pray, the more I want to pray. And the more that I pray, the more I realize I'm not praying enough. W.T. Seymour, the man who ran Azusa Street, wonderful Afro-American gentleman who had one glass eye. One eye that was totally normal and worked fine. And God dealt with him. He had a prayer life. He prayed 5 hours a day. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him. You would think. See, we settle on our lees. And if we do, we're wearing them in the wrong place. The lees are supposed to be in the cup, not something we sit down on, all right? And the Lord spoke to him and said, you need to increase your prayer life. You need to increase your prayer time. And so he upped it to 7 hours a day. Now, I know that's not something that most of us probably could attain to. I'm just saying, so where is the water level where you are? Water seeks its own level. Where is your prayer life? Maybe if it's 15 minutes. I'm going to tell you what, up it. Add 10 minutes. Add 5 minutes. Yes, sir. Woo. Yes, sir. If I asked you how much you've already prayed today. Now, I'm not going to do that. No, I think I will. Jesus. Oh, I had such a time. I wish you could have been with me. His presence came down on me at a certain point, and I thought, oh, my lands. Woo. It's like, Brother Noah, it's like, if I did this, you know, Noah's a great big, strong, strapping lad, you know? They say in the air country. try to stand up, but Noah. Yeah, try to stand up. It was like that. It was like the presence of God. It's been a while. When's the last time the Holy Ghost came on you? But you shall receive power after what? After the Holy Ghost does what? Comes on you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes on you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Many of us. Well, we sometimes even try to get to church and we run out of gas. Well, don't feel bad, I've been there. I've seen God multiply gas.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Let me give you this real quick. Nebraska, I was preaching the youth camp, district youth camp, when I was a few years younger. Had my cell phone. They didn't have very many towers. I was with my friends, my hosts. I happened to look over the seat and the needle, and they verified this. The needle was on. Actually, it was below E. That is not good. Now, you know, we had to go 20-some miles. We couldn't get cell phones, you know, anybody to take a, because we couldn't, the towers weren't there. And it's not good to start on E, let alone below E, right? So we realized we've got miles and miles to go. Like that one poem says, miles to go, miles before we sleep, right? Was that Longfellow? Thank you. And so we're driving along. We realize, you know what? This is going to get really serious because if we break down out here in the middle of farmland, flat country and no cell towers, there's several preachers in the, and the camp speaker is in that car too. Happened to be me. And so anyway, I started praying. We started praying, Lord, touch the gas. Lord, multiply the gas. Lord, bless the gas. Lord, thank you, Jesus. And the driver said he literally looked down and he saw the needle go up. Seriously, he saw the needle go up toward like somebody was putting. We drove all the way. It was like over 20 some miles on less than E. Never stopped, never sputtered, never muttered. Thank you for that one, Lord. And got back and we were all intact. able to get to the camp, able to get to the motel. We should have run out of gas. God can take anything and multiply it if you surrender it. He'll take your energy and multiply it if you'll surrender it to Him. He'll take your life force. He'll take you and He'll multiply you by you. What's Bob Letner multiplied times Bob Letner? That's what you call scary. And didn't he do an awesome job? Oh my lands, did he ever more do an awesome job yesterday. And remember this, he's an entertainer at heart. They make, they do amazing jobs. He's an entertainer at heart. Now watch this. Oh, praise God. Merle Ewing. Anybody remember listening to Merle Ewing preach? How about him? Hear him sing. He used to sing a song. Let me see if you can remember this. And it went like this. The things I hated are now the things that thrill me. I could almost sing you a little bit of the song, but I don't want you to leave early. I don't want you to get depressed. You know, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to damage your eardrums. This amazing song, you know, let's see if I can get it started. What are you doing to us? I'm trying to preach the thought that was in his song. The things that I used to hate since I've been born again. Since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Used to hate church. Now I love going to church. Used to hate Bible reading. Now I love to read the Word. Oh my. I used to hate to be around religious people. Now I hang out at the restaurant for a couple extra hours. Just fellowshipping. Oh, praise God. There's something to be said about sanctified, consecrated fellowship. There's strength in fellowship. All the fellas in the same ship, going the same direction and enjoying the trip. Fellowship. That's something about what we were enjoying yesterday. We had so much humor. We had so much fun going on. I could have just fallen down on the lawn and kicked and screamed and hollered. It was so fun. It was amazing. And it just got better and better. Maybe that's what heaven's going to be like. We're going to turn Sister Naylene loose. If you think she worships under anointing, you ought to see her bid under an anointing. Come on. She was lit. Woo, man. It was unbelievable. Ran up there and grabbed the microphone. Praise God. Testify. Testify. And by the way, was that your carrot cake? I had... Don't tell my weight. Watch your friends.
I'm telling
Pastor. Don't tell my weight. Watch your friends. But she had a piece. And did you guys get into that? Hey, call me and just say, Pastor, if you'd like to come over, because you bought what she makes every year. It's like on the same level. Amazing. And she had a piece there in the kitchen, and I kept coming back to it and eating a little more and thinking, how many points? Need a little bit more, how many points? I said, baby, get that out of the kitchen. Get that cake out of the kitchen. She did. She made it disappear. Her own magic hack. She made it disappear. But it was flirting with me. You ever had food flirt with you? Food flirts with me. It's terrible. It's terrible. And then I succumb sometimes when I, you know, just live and lean on Weight Watcher points. And I got to be so careful. And I'd already had some of her dessert. Oh, my lands. Davy Crockett said, when things get boring, just go out and wrestle a grizzly. So, I don't have to wrestle no grizzly because my life's already fascinating. What a time. Listen to this. This humble scripture. When God starts off the new birth in us, it starts with repentance. But the deal is, we can never afford to forget how to repent. Because repentance is not just an experience. It's a lifestyle. So from Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to get used to change, because the whole trip starts with change, continues as we live for God, continues in the spirit of change. And then there's coming a day when this mortality shall put on immortality. Woo, it's going to end up in change, and that's what's going to produce the rapture of the church. So he begins your experience and mine with dramatic, transformational change. You know, I was so on fire for God, I'd leave church and I was ready to witness to a parking meter. I stood in the dry cleaners just days ago. I wasn't supposed to do this. It wasn't in my notes. I didn't go in there and do it intentional. But all of a sudden, Kim is working behind the counter, and we've built a friendship, and she's an awesome lady. And all of a sudden, Brother Josh, I gave her a crash course on baptism. Her eyes got big. She had never had anybody explain how important it is to be baptized under the water, because it's a type of burial. Romans 6, we are buried with him by baptism in the name of Jesus, not the titles, because Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost is not a name. They're just titles. And there's one name that stands for all those titles. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. Who's talking? Jesus. He said, I'm come in my Father's name. So baptize them in the name of the Father. Baptize them in the name of the Son. And the angel said, and she shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And by the way, that's capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. In most translations that you find that verse, it'll be there. And that word will be in all caps, Jesus. Baptize them in the name of the Holy Ghost. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? He said, but the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Who's talking? Jesus of Nazareth. Baptize them in the name of the Father. It would have to be in the name of Jesus. Baptize them in the name of the Son. It has to be in the name of Jesus. Baptize them in the name of the Holy Ghost. It would have to be the name of Jesus. And so when you go over to the book of Acts, oh, this is a crash course. Put on your crash helmets. When you go over the book of Acts, they always baptize them, Mikey, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I don't know if you noticed this, Sister Holly. By the way, she got involved. Anybody get her brownies? I got a bag, and the one that I gave one of them away. And Sister Holly made them. Saturdays are crash days for real estate agents. I mean, you in the summer and all the pressure they live under. But anyhow, I ended up with an extra bag. And I thought, oh, I want to eat some of this right now. Am I the only person that gets avalanched with the hungries?
No.
I am. Listen, if there were medals for snackers, I'm the gold medalist, dude. I'm the gold medalist. I'm like a snacker on steroids. That's what kills me when it comes to losing weight. I love Doritos. I have this romance with Fritos. I love chips and french fries and hamburgers. And I go to this hamburger place. Thank you for those french fries. Brother Welch, I couldn't find a chicken burger. I couldn't find chicken McNuggets. I couldn't even find nuggets. I couldn't find nothing chicken. I had no options, and I ended up with this lettuce wrap. There's something missing here. And it had some mushrooms. I'm at Five Guys, and I got a lettuce wrap? What is wrong with me? And I'm looking to the right and to the left, and I'm seeing these burgers that look like they could take you over. You're like hostage. And Brother Welch, come here, Brother Welch. My buddy handed me two french fries. Say it.
You're my buddy.
See? And I knew that God was alive and well. And then he put the bag over there by me and let me know. Of course, I couldn't do that. I wanted to just go, oh, just assault and battery. You know, but I couldn't do that. But he let me know there was more there if I wanted it. Oh, praise God. But because I was... Why do we get hungry for God like that? Huh? Why don't we get, what did he say? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. It's hard to be here today. You know why? Because me and Jesus, we had this intersection today. And I believe he put this on my heart to give somebody hope. It's not in you to direct your steps. You were never designed to do it just by yourself. You were designed to fly with his power under your wings. You were designed to change and transform with his grace on you and his power working in you. And it starts with the power of repentance. Simply humbling ourselves. Listen to this from the Amplified, that beautiful verse. Praise God. When he said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's the King James. Repent ye therefore and be converted. What does that mean? Converted. Guess what? That's how you make clothes. You convert cotton for one fabric. Now they've got all kinds. Convert plastic. I mean, you know, convert to get a finished product. We go to the store and buy stuff that's been totally converted. And it's something different. You can't go out into a field and pick Fritos. Right. Hey, I like those scoopers. I like the scoopers. Come on, the scoopers. Anybody got me covered? The scoopers. They're like half of the size of Afghanistan, and you could scoop out the Grand Canyon. That dude, when I snack, oh my, have mercy. I mean, watch out, sour cream. Watch out, French onion dip. I'm coming with the scoopers. I'm telling you what, no wonder I was as big as the Goodyear blimp. I'm a snacker on the loose. And then he put me on a leash, and God is helping me, but I'm still hungering after the rebellion of ridiculous snacking. Listen to that verse from the Amplified. So repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Sometimes it's not just dental floss, it's mental floss. We get something stuck. Some stuck in our brain. Change your whole way of thinking. Regret past sins and return to God. Seek his purpose for your life so that your sins may be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Listen to this. Restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. Do you realize how hot it has been, and we were scheduled to have this picnic, and it's been blazing. And of course, I always say, well, let's pray about it. Sister Amber was driving by our amazing Sunday school director. God had already given us a breeze and a little bit of overcast. It was perfect. It was so nice to be out there, but then we had a few little, you know that song, Brother Dinkins, and went and sat down with Brother and Sister Dinkins. Mercy drops round us are falling. There's a few mercy drops. And Sister Amber comes by, and we hadn't had some things yet that we had on the docket. And she said, oh, Pastor, it's starting to rain. I said, rebuke it in Jesus' name. See, you're such a fanatic. You know, you ought to join me. I have more fun in one day than you have in a month. That's right. And I'm just getting warmed up. I started rebuking it. She started rebuking it. We just went on and did everything. We did everything that was on the docket. You are so fanatical. I know I am. I love it. Join me. Let's become fanatics for Jesus. He's not done changing you. He wants to come and put his hands on the controls and adjust something in us right now. That area where you don't trust him. That area that makes your nerves threadbare. That area where you mix no faith in it. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 4 to mix the word with faith. To mix it with faith. Wow. I want to tell you this. I heard that the general superintendent, Nathan Urshan. Was there anybody ever around Nathan Urshan? He was, would you amen this, Vicki, Paul? He was scary. And Brother Cunningham, when I was on the home mission committee over 7-8 states, 1.5 provinces in Canada, he would bring him into the room to speak to us, Tim. And he was, you didn't mess with, and he was Persian. Do you know anything about Persians? You don't mess with them, right? You know, just dig up Darius's bones and dig up some of those guys that ruled in the East through the years. He was a scary guy, but an anointed, amazing, anointed man of God. And he'd come in and he'd talk to us, and I'm all ears. I'm all ears. But once he was speaking to us, and he said, I repent every day. This is the general superintendent of the entire United Pentecostal Church. That does not stand for underprivileged children, okay? That's not what it means. The United Pentecostal Church is one of the greatest fellowships that I have ever been a part of. I thank God for our fellowship, but this is the number one man who is saying every day, I make it a matter to repent, to work on that in my life. Now, where does that put me and you? Lift your hand. Let's ask God as we soften the lights. Let's ask God for that kind of spirit, that kind of honesty and humility, that kind of submission. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Not afraid to say, forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Oh, Father, forgive me. I'm not afraid, Lord, to call a penalty on myself. I'm not afraid to call, Lord, myself on something that I've got to get right, got to get it right and do it right and say it right and walk it right. Not afraid. I'll tell you a little something. The gardener's in the house. The gardener's in the house. Mary thought around that tomb that he was the gardener, and she was correct, because he was the gardener of the universe. But you have to pull your own weeds. Can I tell you that? You are, I am, we are the garden of the Lord. But we have to pull our own weeds. When I was a kid, my Uncle Vernon and Aunt Gloria would bring me up on the ranch. They were like mom and dad to me, mom and pops. I wasn't very old, but I remember at the ripe old age of 8, pulling weeds in their gardens. And actually, I got very good at it. To this day, if I go after weeds, and there are a lot of them, I'll probably spend most of the day, because there's some joy about just pulling weeds out of the ground. 11 acres, God knew what we needed, right? We need a weed, pull her over there. Oh, bring Pastor Meadows. He's got his PhD in weed pulling. Of course, you know what PhD means, right? Past have in doubt. Okay. It also means post hole digger. But anyway, I'm sorry. No, God bless, higher learning. Wow. I became one of the best weed pullers. You are God's garden. Don't be afraid to pull some weeds. What does that mean? Don't be afraid to let him adjust you. Yes, sir. Bring a small change. Something. Do you know what sometimes happens to us as pastors? We'll talk to somebody about something 5, 10, 15 times, and they'll adjust. It's something that we know that God would have them work on. And they'll respond, and oh, there's a difference for 1 or 2 weeks. And then they lapse right back into the same problem that's opening them up to huge problems. Counseling. It's got to be combined with deliverance. You're like casting out devils. I'm sorry. What do you mean? I mean, sometimes we can't even institute, undergird, and fortify one tiny little change because we're too busy being religious instead of being powerful. Too busy being religious. When you stand before him, he's not going to ask you what denomination you were a part of. Do you know that? We'll stand before him and there will be no excuses. But you see, if I judge stuff right here, then I won't run into it when I stand before him, because I, you know, double jeopardy, right? In America, in our law system, legal system. If you judge something now and keep it judged and under your feet, you're not going to have, he's not going to have to talk to you about it when you stand before his bar, his throne, because it's already been dealt with and judged, right? How many of you believe that? You have to pull your own weeds. When I was coming back this morning from prayer, and it's like, oh man, I wish I had a couple more, at least a couple more hours. I'm driving by the man who is the drug dealer in my neighborhood. I'm driving by his house. And as far as I could see in the whole block, he's the only house whose yard was full of weeds. I mean about a foot, foot and a half tall. I'm looking at the other, of course, now there's the burnt express, you know, the weather and so on. Our yards aren't looking great. But of all the yards, his was the one that was undealt with. He's a likable fella. He's just in the wrong work. He's in the wrong business. And I thought, isn't that interesting? He hasn't dealt with his lawn and pulled the weeds in his lawn, but he hasn't dealt with his own life either and pulled the weeds in his own heart. Would you lift your heart with me as we ask the Lord, lift your life, your faith up to Jesus right now. If you were honest, has he talked to you about something? Not because he's trying to be difficult with us, but because he doesn't want us to be lost. And he doesn't want our influence to be diluted. Oh, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, pray with me. Would you lift your voice up for a few moments? Praise God. Oh, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. Oh, yeah. Wonderful God, your word is so clear. Hallelujah. Repent, he says, and be converted. Repent so thoroughly that there's a change, conversion. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Let something be changed. If we're going to be saved, we've got to fall in love with change. I believe he's talked to you because he loves you. On your worst day, he loves you. Have you pulled the weeds? Have you dealt with yourself in an area where leaders have spoken to you and the Holy Ghost has talked to you and your spouse talked to you and your kids lovingly rebuked you because they saw a glaring error that needed to be corrected to fortify and sustain your Christian testimony? Oh God, we kneel in our hearts. We kneel. We give ourselves to you. Listen to this beautiful verse in closing from 2 Timothy 2:19. I have not just tried to do some kind of enthusiastic preaching today, but I've tried to convince somebody that today is your day. And if you're willing to be adjusted, touched, blessed, transfigured gently in stages, you're in the right place because he's here. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Brother Sandy, come and stand right down here, would you? You're a praying man. Brother Dinkins, come and stand down here on my left. Brother Sandy's going to be on the right. And somebody's going to walk down here in trusting that God is going to touch them. And God is going to touch you. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it. I remember when I went to an altar. Oh, praise God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Run from it. Depart. Elude it. Sidestep it. We would say in the old terms when we were younger, ditch it. You know, just get away from it. Let everybody that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Is there something that you could judge today? Is there something you could put on the altar and say, God, I don't have the power, but you do, and your grace is here, and you've never given up on me. And I know I can't take this to heaven. I know, God, it's too big, too ugly to try to take it through the doors of glory. I've got to drop it off at your feet and say, you can break this chain off of me. You can deliver me from this problem. You can deliver me from this addiction. You can break every chain and bring to us the victory again and again. Would you lift your hand with me in prayer? Praise God. I'm opening up this altar. If you were honest, and as Brother Thad comes and our beautiful, wonderful music, amen, ministry, we are so open to the dealings of the Holy Ghost. It could be anything. It could be a hidden problem, a hidden hunger that God would like to strike death to. Amen. And slap a joy over the top of our life that we could never shake for the Spirit of the Lord to deliver us. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God wants to bring a new liberty into your prayer life. God wants to bring a new liberty into your walk with Him. And oh, today could be the beginning of beginnings. The beginning of a new joy, the beginning of a new confidence. Lord, we pray together. Hallelujah. It might not even be, in fact, a sin. It might be just a fault that keeps tripping you up. It might be just a tendency that keeps throwing you like a wild bronco, and you don't want it in your life, and you're willing to say, I need His power. I need His hand on me. I need Jesus. I need Lord, for you to help me, pick me up and carry me up this mountain. Lord, let me conquer this. It's going to be glory to you. Anybody else? Hallelujah. It could be something small. Doesn't even have to be a big thing, but something tiny or something that's a stowaway in our heart. It could
Are
be
you
a simple stowaway.
Broken
and we say, no free rides. I'm not going to carry bitterness. I refuse to carry anger. I refuse these chains. I refuse this joylessness. I refuse this woundedness. I refuse. I'm going to ask Brother Dinkins to walk through the congregation. And if you want the Lord to touch you, lift your hand up and just say, come by here, Lord. Come by here. Just come by, Lord. Can't do this in myself. Lord Jesus, come by here. He wants to renew you. He wants to replenish your fountains of life and joy. He wants to rebuild. He wants to rebuild your faith. He wants to refinish, renew your joy. He wants to establish again His authority, His sovereignty. He wants to be the Lord over your life. He wants to help you. He wants to sing a new song in you. He wants to start the music up again. Your very life is going to become a testimony. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Oh God, we step into your promise. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He promises newness. He promises newness. He promises broken chains. Hallelujah. Oh, let there be grace poured out on us. Let there be strength. Let there be a new anointing. Let there be a new anointing over our life. Let there be a new anointing over our life. Let there be.
Was brought with the precious blood.
Jesus, we release your blessing. We release your power. I bind, I take authority over unclean spirits that would harass us. I take authority over the enemy. I bind the enemy in Jesus' name. I take authority over sin and sickness in Jesus' name. Lord God, let your love be manifested. Let your joy be cut loose in this house. Woo!